When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It is hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're standing by for the Eric Kendrick Show, brought to you by Keurig and Dr. Pepper. He's joined us Thursdays here during this football season, and it's been great so far, so looking forward to the next installment of the Eric Kendrick Show. As the Cowboys are getting set for the Commanders, Brian Broaddus has previewed them on film for us. Brian, I have a stat here for you. You know, J.D. completed 82% of his passes through the first 4 weeks of the season.
He did.
He set an NFL record. Since then, 59.5% the four games since returning from injury. That ranks 28th in the NFL in completion percentage. Can the Cowboys get pressure on him?
I'll tell you what, that's where we talked about maybe that left tackle spot. You know, the left side, you know, the Cowboys have just kind of, they've struggled when we've kind of said, okay, here's a guy maybe you can go after. Here's a guy, you know, sometimes we say, well, Osa's got a really good matchup here and all that. So, yeah, it's going to be, I think really what's happened with him is they've played some better defenses, but they've also, you know, his and Daniel's not willingness to run, you know, has been where he's had to. And maybe some of those times where he would have taken off and run, he's throwing the football, and now you have some incomplete. Zach Ertz is going to be tough to deal with. I mean, he's not going to run away from you, but he's a nice guy in that intermediate area. And then Terry McLaurin down the field is a big weapon for them. So the willingness to throw that ball, but I think they've played some better defenses in the second half of the season.
Okay.
And it's kind of affected, but he's also been injured with the ribs, and his willingness to run hasn't been as strong.
We're live at Hurtado, just down the road from AT&T Stadium here. And we'd love it if you could join us. You know, maybe you're getting out of work, you want some delicious barbecue, it gets no better than Hurtado. Because the Commanders have the sixth best offense overall. We'll talk a little bit more about it later on, as we're trying to get a gauge on exactly the quality of football they're playing now. It's time now for the Eric Kendrick Show, brought to you by Keurig and Dr. Pepper. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's up?
Well, you know, we're trying to preview Washington here. Let's start here. How do you like this this three games in 11 days turnaround around the holidays? Is this a weird deal, or do you like all the football?
it's a challenge physically, mentally as well, honestly. But at the same time, there's always like a little stretch during the season that's more difficult than others. So just got to buck up.
Yeah, and then with this Washington team, you know, for the season, sixth-ranked offense in all of the NFL. Recently, over the last month or so, Jaden Daniels' completion percentage coming down like 25%. It's under 60 now. Do you feel like, though, this Commander's offense is one of the best you're going to face, or how would you preview them for us?
It's a lot of moving parts, a lot of weapons everywhere. Obviously, he uses his legs as well, but it's definitely challenging for sure.
What do you think overall about Jaden Daniels? Like rookie quarterbacks, do you kind of lick your chops when you're going to go up against them, or is it kind of like this dude's special? This is a little different.
No, he's showing that he's throwing the ball, he's spreading the ball around. He's taking time in the pocket at times, and it's not really like you don't see that panic you kind of see in some rookies. You know, this quarterback's a hard position. You know, so you're seeing a lot of poise and a lot of confidence with these routes throwing them.
Can you tell, like, the first time you see a rookie quarterback, like, how poised he is, what his decision-making is, and, like, kind of project what you think? Or how much does that change from, like, time one to game 10 that you see some of these guys?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's all – it's you know, you always – it just depends, you know, how the game, the flow of the game is going. If you get to him early or not. We haven't even got, you know, the communication. I don't know. It's a flow that we get into. It's the back and forth. But I'm excited to see what it's all about.
Where does FedEx Field rank amongst the worst stadiums you've ever played in?
Man, I'm not going to answer that. No, anytime I get to go out there and play, it's a special day. How about that?
You know, last year Zach Martin was telling us there is a redeeming quality about the stadium. There's something about the amount of stalls, like bathroom stalls, in the road locker room or something like that. So yeah. Certainly something to take advantage of.
Oh yeah, you know, anytime you need to get in that bathroom, it's always people are always fighting for those stalls. So anytime you can get a plethora of stalls, it's a good thing. I guess. We need
that. It's hard to talk about other team stadiums though when things were falling off yours Monday night. You weren't in harm's way, were you?
I wasn't. I didn't hear about it until later, like I always do with everything. So you guys beat me to the punch at all times. But it seemed solid when I was there, so I don't know.
I know, dude. I'm sorry. We were talking about maybe having the roof open, and you didn't even know it was open, and then, boom, we missed the opportunity to do it. It did look beautiful for the small amount of time that it was open. But Eric brought up Zach Martin to you. He apparently got punched in the throat.
Ooh.
Have you ever been, like, with the throat punch during a game? Is that the worst place to get hit?
Oh, my gosh. A throat punch is, like, debilitating.
Wow.
Sometimes you get punched in the throat, and it's like you feel like you're going to die. It's like you can't breathe at all. And then there's other times where you get hit in the throat and you're just, like, gagging for, like, the next – I mean, I remember one time in college I got hit in the throat, and I remember just gagging for the whole series. I just was, like – and I didn't want to come out, but it was, like, I was just gagging because it was – you know, it's bad. A chin shot, throat shot, bad.
Yeah. How often does that happen?
A throat shot is usually with, like, someone's hand or someone's arm. The severity could be different. When it happens bad, it's bad. But a chin shot, like someone's helmet kind of getting under your chin, those ones are crazy.
That's like, how the knockouts usually happen, right? It's not from a helmet hit, but a jaw underneath the face mask?
No, like, yeah. No, I've been hit with a helmet, like, just sneaking under. Like, you're kind of, like, in a compromise. Your head's back, and you get hit with a helmet underneath your chin. Ooh. It's only happened a couple times in my career, but, like, your whole chin is bruised. When you put your chin strap on, you can't, you know, it's bad.
Did you even realize that Zach Martin had been throat punched, or did we just break that news to you?
No, you just broke the news to me, but I could feel his pain on that one.
He's a savage beast animal, dude. I mean, my goodness, the amount of injuries that he's been fighting through this year. But yeah. Seeing him up close, you've played against him before, and now seeing him up close, I mean, he's kind of a marvel.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just his consistency, throughout the years is just something to be, you know, you're obviously in awe of, you know what I mean? It's a hard position, the trenches, you know, every time, every down. Hats off to him.
Hey, Eric, are you a fan of calamari?
Calamari?
Yeah. You a fan of that, of the appetizer calamari?
Yes.
Okay, we're having a discussion right here. Eric believes that you have to put lemon on the calamari. Like, if it's at the table,
yes. Mm-hmm.
He immediately grabs the lemon and squeezes it over all the calamari before everybody dives in.
Yeah, so I think there's a rule. It's like as soon as the calamari hits the table, somebody has to grab the lemon right away.
But you must
look to a couple people at the table and be like, does everyone care for lemon? Everyone's good on lemon? And then once everyone gives the nod, then you proceed to squirt it all over the calamari.
Okay. That's
I thought you said Kyler Murray at first, so calamari, Kyler Murray.
Calamari, there you go. I need to be better pronunciation guy here. But, yeah, Eric immediately goes, I mean, he doesn't even acknowledge that he just goes right to the lemon and goes for it. And we were all saying, no, you can't do that.
No, I agreed. I think that the lemon on the calamari is a must. I think that's the play right there.
Yeah, I think I admire your courage of that, and I think that I would also, you know, commend your effort for getting to it as fast as possible. But I think me personally, I would check with my table mates before proceeded.
Well, you're a better teammate than me, Eric. That's well documented. what would be the Eric Kendricks go-to appetizer? You sit down. The no-brainer order for appetizer is what?
Man, the no-brainer, the pretty consistent, always is on the menu, like some type of Caesar salad, some type of side salad.
Okay.
Get it started. If they have a good soup that I like, I go for the soup as well. An outlier, like an off the wall appetizer that I will always order if it's on the menu is bone marrow.
Oh, there you go, Eric.
If there's
a bone marrow on the menu,
yeah. I'm ordering it. You know,
that's a must. That's a must right there. We were talking with Zach Martin last year. He didn't like Thanksgiving food.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get in on Thanksgiving? Is this a big holiday for you? How do you feel about the Thanksgiving food?
I love the idea of Thanksgiving. I love eating food and breaking bread with your family and friends. But the turkey, I mean, we do a prime rib at my house.
That's a good plan.
Respect.
Good plan.
We switch it. You know, we do a lot of good things, and you know, we keep the stuffing and the gravy and stuff like that. But like, I'm not a big stuffing dressing guy. You know what I mean? I'm not a big turkey guy. But I do love Thanksgiving, the meal. You know.
I mean, all respect, but you know, they were down and out. They were down bad. You know, everything was gone. They had no food, so they just. You know, they were down to their last resource.
Last option was turkey.
You said the pilgrims? The pilgrims?
They ate pumpkins?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a delicatessen, you know, type of item. So, but are you guys going to roll up your sleeves and get in there? Are you cooking it? You know, you and the missus?
The missus is she actually left town. I'm trying to find a place to be for Thanksgiving. We'll see.
Wow.
For you know, I mean, I know where I'm going to be on Thanksgiving, but at the same time. You know, we got to have a little meal sometime during that week.
Have you ever played on Thanksgiving?
I have.
It's a fun, different kind of. I'm assuming you didn't get the turkey leg then. You probably would have said thanks, but no thanks. You know, I kicked ass today. Yeah. Somebody else can have the
leg. I'm really not a fan of the stuff.
Turkey leg. No.
Aaron Andrews says, here. And you're like, no, Aaron, I can't do that today.
No, it's one of those games where it's just like, you know, you grew up watching it. You know, it's Thanksgiving football. You know, it's just one of those things. In the NFL, it's cool.
Well, speaking of wings, how's your shoulder?
Shoulder's doing good. You know, been on diligent on my rehab, just staying strong with it.
So here's a question for you, and you know, I think players in these kind of situations where the season's not going great are in a weird spot. But like Micah Parsons the other day said, we're a damn good football team. Obviously, you want to be proud, you want to be confident. There's also a reality and a losing streak happening. So how do you approach that sort of topic? Like, you know, you are one of the better football teams in the entire world. I think that is a true statement.
I think that, you know, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, you could look at the big picture of things and obviously what's the reality of the matter. But in the same breath, you got to keep things so small right now. You know what I mean? Do what you can. Try to help the team. And fight and claw, you know, like, you know, double down on some things if you need to, you know, maybe you need to be more free in other areas, you know, maybe you're too tense and uptight. So it's like, you know, we need to find things that work, know who you are personally, try to remain that, you know, that confident player individually and, you know, bring the work ethic, bring the team aspect to it when we get to the game because, you know, we're trying to get these wins.
So this is your first year playing within the NFC East. You've gotten to face off against Philly, the Giants, and then now you'll get Washington. How are you liking NFC East football and these rivalries? Obviously, you were in the NFC North for a long time. Packers, Vikings, that's big. Bears, Vikings. But the NFC East, maybe a little different?
Yeah, I mean, it's football at the same time. You know, the rivalries are different for me now that I'm in this league, like you said. They do mean more. They weigh way more. But you know, I played these teams countless times. Whether I was in whatever team I was in. So I played Washington. I played the Giants. I played the Giants like a couple years in a row at times. Mm-hmm. Eagles a couple years in a row at times. So I know what they're about. I know what the away games are like, everything.
So you guys starting to get a little healthier on defense. Young guys, Nealon and Bland back at practice this week. How are they looking, and how do you like your chances of putting together a better effort here now that you're getting guys back?
Good. You know, like you said, we're just keeping trying to keep things small and, you know, get a win.
I love it.
Has the playbook sort of expanded a little bit, blitz packages and stuff, having Micah back and him and Overshown and some of the stuff that you guys are doing?
Yeah, I feel like we're getting, you know, we have some new concepts, new alignments, assignments, you know, all of the above, like you said. You know, getting people back is crucial, and, you know, health is wealth.
Eric Kendrick Show wrapping up here on 105.3 The Fan. Did you ever think about taking salary in Bitcoin? I don't know if you saw the news today. It's approaching $100,000, Eric.
Yeah. I haven't thought about taking the salary in it, but, you know, definitely been paying attention to the coin.
Right on. Well, give him hell out there. We'll be pulling for you, and we'll chat with you next week.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
There he goes. Eric Kendrick Show, brought to you by Keurig and brought to you by Dr. Pepper. Thursday's 5 here on The Fan, Brian.
Next Thursday, we got a game.
Oh, that's right.
We might be, I don't know, maybe that week, maybe Wednesday?
Wednesday. It'd possibly be a Tuesday.
That'd be the KMC show.
We had him on.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That'd be the the KMC deal on Wednesday. So maybe Tuesday, hopefully. But whatever the case, thanks to Eric Kendricks for joining us once again here on your home of the Cowboys. It's time to hit the expressway. We'll go commercial-free to the top when we return. LA Labs coming up at 5. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I-40 here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation live at Hurtado's in Arlington. Welcome back to the show. Time to hit the expressway. We go commercial free to the top every night at this time. LA Live's coming up here in 18 minutes. We got some good Jerry audio. Man, they were throwing fastballs at him today, the KMC Masterpiece. He joined one day early. Apparently he's going to have something scheduled tomorrow. Anyway, segment's brought to you by Window Nation. The expressway itself is brought to you by the on-time experts. And this football hour, Wolchuk, it's quite a football hour, isn't it?
It is. It is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. That is the 5 o'clock football hour, where B-dubs is football.
Okay. How about Stephen A. Smith's comparisons to Joe Biden? A little Let's Go Brandon chant for Gerald Wayne Jones.
Wild.
What's Jerry think about that? Here we go.
Well, as you know, Stephen A. is a fraud in a positive sense. I'm smiling. We are friends. And I am having huge support and huge input and help from everyone he mentioned in that call about stepping in. But I would say if he had asked me that question, relative to the issue or the criticism that Biden had about his ability to function, I wish he'd follow me around every day. And he would see that I'm the busiest I've ever been in my life. And I'm not concerned about the ability to do the work, do the job. I just made a quick 14-hour trip back and forth to New York here yesterday. And so my point for a league meeting, but my point is that Stephen A. and I'd love to have you just sit beside us for a day and make the rounds and have him listen to me field the calls and do the kinds of things we do. And he wouldn't be worried about me there. But I do appreciate his concern. And by the way, it is genuine.
It is genuine.
I love it, man. It's a great answer. You know, I think, though, in honesty to Jerry, you don't get to see all those behind-the-scenes things. Some of the things that he said publicly over the last 7 months, I think, really since the beginning of the offseason, would suggest that he is not all there. You know, I think that's probably why Stephen A. Smith had that take. Like, listening to him say, Zeke's good. Listen to him say, we're still a good football team. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you would have to be senile to really think those things. I just think Stephen A. misses the point that if Jerry's lips are moving, he's selling. You know, and the fact that he is actually sharp enough to make this kind of flow logically without losing his train of thought, being on the radio twice a week is, you know, pretty remarkable. It takes a tremendous amount of constitution as well, toughness, you know, to stick in there and continue to tell these, you know, bald-faced lies about your football team and your organization. But I thought Jerry answered that hilariously.
I like how he put the "by the way" at the very end, just like Biden would.
Yeah. By the way.
And, oh, yeah. By the way.
That's good. Okay, cut four. How about Dion and Shador, Jerry? Here we go.
Well, I would say how much I'm in the camp for the success of Dion and what he is, how he has become the coach that he is today. It's not surprising. He's as great an athlete and a real great one. He's just as much a person and just as much got the kind of energy. And he just would jump out at you as someone that young men would be inspired by and be led by. And, of course, he's got an outstanding boy there and is going to go extremely high in the draft. There's no question about that. But I think we're way ahead of ourselves relative to when and if he decides to go into coaching in the NFL. And one of his greatest skills that he really brings to college is that he is almost has no peer as far as being a recruiter. And I mean, kids want to come play for him, and they want to, and he has a way of selling that. And that is one skill, that recruiting skill, that is not a huge prerequisite for NFL coaches. And so one of his greatest values is in that area of putting the team together and in the sense of getting great talent to come and play for him there at Colorado. So all of that would go into your mind, but make no mistake about it, he's one of the top people, young and old, that I've been around in the NFL.
That's funny because, you know, when Jerry started the salary cap, he thought he was going to be able to recruit players to come here just to be on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know, I think he probably knows full well decades later that the only recruiting that really matters in the NFL, who's got the biggest check. Mm-hmm. And occasionally you'll find players that have made so much money that they want to go play for a team or play for a coach and accept a little bit less. But that is very, very rare. But, yeah, just take away on listening to him answer that. You know, way ahead of ourselves, haven't fired Mike. Dion hasn't said he's going to leave Colorado yet. But when he talked about the recruiting skills that you need in college compared to the pros, I think he was kind of letting you in on his thinking there.
And maybe Dion doesn't want to leave. I mean, it's possible. He just landed a great quarterback recruit today. He's been flipping some others. So it's possible, like, he is built perfectly for the college game. But, man, the business side of that, adding Prime, like, I think that just speaks Jerry's language right now when it comes to the money that could be made if they were to do that. It'd be kind
of
crazy.
And you get more of an influx of that 90s Cowboys culture just immediately. Like, those guys are going to gravitate to it. Michael Irvin, I would love to be a fly on the wall for those conversations of Michael Irvin in Jerry's ear about Dion and just how those off-the-record truth serum conversations are going, because Michael Irvin is making he's not being subtle about it at all. He is clearly in the corner for Dion, and I'm sure they're having multiple conversations about it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the top conversation that we could have right now, and because we can do something about it right now. We can't talk to the guys on the radio about it. We can't talk to any of our beat writers about it, but we should absolutely be, you know, vetting any possibility right now. I'd be working tirelessly. I think this is like a 12, 15-hour-a-day job for a GM who's fully committed to trying to make a championship team. Use all of these weeks where you're traveling around talking to people to, you know, do an exhaustive search for the best possible guy.
But I wonder if that's how really Jerry views Dion, is just like, hey, he's a great recruiter, but like, okay, sure, but if you guys are great at team building, like you say all the time that you are, like does Deion have the other qualities as well, or does he look at Deion as just simply a great recruiter and then everything else just kind of falls into place there? He doesn't have all the other qualities that you need.
Yeah, I think that's what it sounded like, or at least Jerry believes that his recruiting ability is such an advantage in college that it would be difficult to predict that he could, you know, create the same kind of winning dynamic in the NFL. It's a challenge for everybody. Okay, I'm going to get to cut six, which is on Marcus Spears saying he doesn't run an organization as a championship franchise. We're going to get to that here in just a second. But how about Micah Parsons saying they are a damn good team? Speaking of Joe Biden type of takes, how would Jerry respond to that?
Well, I like that. And the facts are that he's right. Now, the issue there is that there's 31 other damn good football teams that, for whatever the reasons, they all may not have it together and they all may not be winning the games against other good football teams. But Michael's right, and as a point of emphasis this morning, we have got so much more left in our season, and those games are so important to us. Each one of them are. And it's important that everything we can do to win the individual games. Well, one of the things you do is you recognize that you're a bad play away, you're a mistake away, many times as an individual player from making the plays or being involved in a situation that can win the game. Now, that's very critical to us, and that's very critical to us that we give ourselves every chance to go up here this weekend and beat that Washington team. And I look at the rest of the schedule that way. So I think Micah is just an expression of, hey, we don't look at it like season, or we don't look at it like playoff. We're looking at it quarter to quarter. And to me, that's what you have to do. Football, really, at the end of the day, is so much about the next play. It's so much about doing your job on a given play. It's really in the dirt, as Jason Witten said.
So, yeah, we're just going to try to talk ourselves into being confident because we have to do that. Okay. You know, if you want to be optimistic, we've heard a long time Jerry Jones likes to lean optimistic in his approach to stuff. I get it. Just, you know, don't be surprised if people think you're delusional as a result. Micah also today talking about Mike McCarthy, saying the most important thing is obviously how much respect and love I have for coach. You never want to throw shade or anything like that on your coach, but I think like anything, I haven't understood the importance of I'm always going to be a player's guy first. I'm always going to think about the guys around me before anyone because that's who I go to war with. He was explaining his comments last week. In regards to Zach Martin and Mike McCarthy, said no disrespect to his career and what he's made for himself as being one of the winningest coaches because, you know, I could have just done better. I was angry. And, you know, I just didn't finish. I wasn't as thoughtful as I usually am. And I didn't think people would take that context the way it was. So that's on me. I lost and I didn't want to finish. And I was trying to hurry up by the locker room. So next time, be very more careful about what I say. So, you know, that's my apologies. I think, you know, that's a hell of a job, you know, to have that kind of turnaround a week later. You know, he went into denial, no self-awareness mode. It's your guys' fault. He had more sleeps. You know, he got a chance to be like, oh, yeah, didn't handle that one quite the right way. So he comes back around this week. And I think that's huge because Micah wants to be a leader. He's good enough to be a leader. Can he grow into that role over the next 3 or 4 years? And maybe this is the right step.
Yeah, that was a mature reaction to that.
Yeah.
Not everybody can admit that they handled things poorly and were wrong about something. So that's a step in the right direction for Micah.
Okay, and then how about we get Jerry's thoughts on Marcus Spears saying that Jerry doesn't run a championship organization. Here's Jerry.
Well, I think a lot of Marcus Spears, we drafted him. We had a big fight over whether to draft him ahead of DeMarcus Ware, but on that draft day. But we got both him and DeMarcus Ware on the same in the same round on the same day, and so I'm a big, big fan of him. And you know, one of the things that is so important about NFL and important for my interest in football is that it engenders different perspectives, different opinions. And all of my time in the NFL, I have had a lot of critics and I've had a lot of different opinions. And I welcome those. A lot of people don't realize that when I make a decision out there about a coach or personnel, but don't think that I'm in some kind of a room and I'm sequestered off. I have huge input in terms of opinions and in terms of their evaluation of it. And I have it from many, many sources. So I put him right in line. I know I'm not going to say because I want him to be balanced, but there's no angst here with Marcus Spears at all. And so, but I don't, again, you can imagine you just don't have time to listen to what everyone's got to say, especially in those settings.
He tried to avoid it. You know, I don't think he really ever came up with a great way of answering that. But a few minutes later, he was asked, you know, are you going to be the GM until you're no longer living? And he said yes.
Yeah.
And I think he's been consistent throughout a lot of it is this is going to be the way it is because he owns the team and that's the way that he wants it to be.
Sure.
You know, and I think Cowboys fans all have to decide for themselves how they feel about it because, you know, he can deflect and say, well, it's not my decision that's running a bad organization. I'm getting a lot of different people's opinions. And, you know, the truth about that is it's in the way that you process all of those opinions. Ultimately, you know, the buck stops with you. And I was kind of disappointed there in that answer that he tried to spread it around to other people, especially because of how proud he is. You know, and he can really never, you know, give you a good answer. You know, he's the ultimate business guy. And everybody says, you know, if anybody else managing one of his businesses had failed that much over three decades, he would have turned them over, you know, a 100%. long time ago. So that's a unique form of pride and ego where, you know, you could literally say, I'm special. You know, the rules that I hold everybody else to do not apply to me. And I just don't think that's a place you want to be in life.
No.
You know, like maybe Mike Tyson says your legacy doesn't matter, but that legacy is going to be huge. And you're basically cementing a negative reputation among Cowboys fans. You still have time to save it. You literally have time to save it and have an honest claim to being one of the best owners in the history of sport because you're in the Hall of Fame as an owner.
Yes.
And one of the most important things of being an owner is finding the right GM, helping find the right coach, setting the tone of. But when you say, I'm going to be involved in everything day to day with the final decision making, and you're not committed to it like every other NFL GM is, then you are solely responsible for all of the failures of this. And I'd be ticked off if I was in his, you know, group of consultants or advisors or whatever, and he's there on the radio throwing me under the bus, too. You know, you want everybody to know you make the last decisions because you're the man. You're the guy that put up the $150 million to buy this football team. You believe that buys you the rights to do whatever the hell you want with it. So just stand on it, you know. Stand on it when the bullets are flying, too. Travis Hunter says he's entering the NFL draft for sure. Tank still not ready to play yet, says he wants to keep playing next year though.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what the market looks like for Tank. You need solid defensive linemen. Jordan Lewis hopes to play this week.
He should play.
He'll wear bigger shoulder pads,
yeah,
to protect that neck and shoulder area. Okay, you got Luka Doncic sustaining a right wrist strain. He's gonna miss at least 1 week, the team announced. Today, he'll be reevaluated. Chief had an interesting report a couple of hours back. The average wrist tweak takes about, what, 6 days? A couple of games missed.
Yep, that's right.
So a sprained wrist shouldn't be too bad. Daniel Gafford on playing without Luka. We got to be a little bit near perfect when it comes to the offense, but honestly, just staying the same as when he's here, take care of business, getting good pace, getting our own offensive sets, and making sure the right guys have the ball in their hands. All right, there you have it. You're up to date as we broadcast live from Hurtado in Arlington. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Let's go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Has Ellie live.
You said somebody's been putting bigger shoulder pads on or something like that?
Yeah. Jordan Lewis.
Jordan Lewis going to have them 90s pads on that fly.
Yeah. When you run, like Mike Allstott. Mike Allstott out
Kenny
there.
Gant out here.
Oh, man. Those pads were ridiculous back in
the day. They were
so huge.
Quarterbacks used to wear them.
Yeah, they were
Lucius,
so
you probably awful. Wore the, being a skill guy, you probably had huge shoulder pads.
I had those ridiculous big old. Yeah. And then they want you to go in there and play quarterback. You're like, man, come on, fam.
Can't throw.
Like, Yeah, man, I get it. You know, by the way, guess what? Let's see here. Yesterday, I played a clip from a Phillies McDonald's for a G-Bag of the Day. It was a late night at the McDonald's in Philly. Dude was in the bathroom but still taking orders. Mm-hmm. Play a little clip for those that did not hear it yesterday.
You're admitting to a customer. You're in the bathroom doing what?
I'm in the bathroom. We're only doing DoorDash and Uber Eats at the moment.
So I can't order a small fry?
We don't do small at nighttime, baby. Everything is large, baby. And I'm in the bathroom. You had to wait 10 minutes.
So can I just wait for you to
get up? Miss.
No, miss, I'm in the bathroom. So yesterday I said that the Philly accent and that terrible Baltimore accent are damn near the same to me.
Uh-huh.
You can hear the Baltimore a little bit different than the Philly, but they're both god-awful. I don't know how you got that accent over there in Baltimore and Philly. Like Louisiana, New Orleans, I get that. There's some French down there that Creole got together. We can put a little sauce on it there, boy. We in the woods. We in the swamps. I get that. I don't understand Baltimore and how you got that weird accent that too. Do a few. I like watching Drew Hill. I like watching their interviews because they always say, Siska, Siska, but Siska. Anyway, pastry chef Eric from Baltimore.
Yeah, here we go.
Fell in my DMs, threatening me because I said that Baltimore accent sounds kind of like a Philly accent.
Yeah.
Pastry chef Eric was not feeling me right now.
Come on, yo. You know I don't take offense to a lot of but you can't be out here comparing how we talk to how them dummies from Philly talk. We don't sound nothing alike. We don't say bathroom the same. We don't say avenue the same. We don't say nothing. They ain't no way you can mix our accents with their accents. That shit is ass. They know it's ass, and we know it's ass. Always coming at us and shit. I fucks with you, though. But yo, you gotta stop trying to compare our accents, yo.
You gotta stop.
You know what it is? Out of ass, stupid.
Stupid.
Philly chef Eric has all the smoke for LA right now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I always have smoke for Baltimore. I don't think I can go back to the state of Maryland legally. So, you know, I got smoke for you.
No disrespect to Baltimore or Maryland, but I do think the Philly accent's better.
Think it's a little better?
Jean. It sounds a little tougher.
Everything's a John.
Yeah, John.
What the hell's a John? It's a name.
They are ridiculous too, Dawson.
That's a John.
I don't get it. I want to do some research on how you got that accent over there. I really do.
Did the guy from Philadelphia say bathroom and bathroom at the same time? Is it bathroom?
Bathroom.
In Philadelphia?
Bathroom.
It's a bathroom?
Bathroom.
Okay. It's a bathroom.
Yeah. All right, let's get into a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
Can
I have a few?
It'll make you dance some everything.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and
the Iraq. Yeah,
exactly. I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Miss South Carolina.
Thank you very much.
Miss South Carolina.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Stand up.
Come on. We should have known then we were slipping into darkness. We were slipping into darkness. We made fun of it, but here we are in Idiocracy. Yeah. This is LA Live for Thursday, November 21st, 2024. It is a Thirsty Thursday, Ladies Night edition of LA Live here. One time for the ladies. Because at the end of the day, it's always for the ladies. You're the reason why we get haircuts. You're the reason why we get fly shoes. You're the reason why we get sexy cars. The right woman can be an inspiration. A positive, motivating force within your life, the right woman can be.
Yep.
Yeah. And you pick the wrong one, you can be the total opposite. It's amazing.
Yep.
It's amazing. Treat that woman right. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the fan if she deserves it. If she doesn't deserve it, dip. Get on out of there, boy. Get. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. That is L-U-C-I-O-U-S. Yes, that's my name. Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. A winner right here is a church clip. Hey. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. You in your bag lately, fam. Oh, my God. Killing it. Let's go to this church right here. I call it Big Back Baptist Church.
Big
Back. She says, be like bacon. Be yes. like bacon, baby.
Y'all know what it's like. We getting ready to go home. It's time to eat. What do? When you getting ready to fry?
Fry.
I just got an answer.
Get that skillet. What do you pour?
Oil.
You gonna fry some chicken? You gonna need some
oil.
You gonna fry some fish? You gonna need some
oil.
You gonna fry some vegetables? You gonna need some
oil.
You gonna fry some bacon? You need some
oil. Hot pan.
No, you don't need no oil when you fry bacon, cause what? Bacon has its own oil. So somebody said, be like bacon, baby.
Be like bacon, baby.
Every time the heat is applied, you just produce your own oil. You just produce your own oil and become what you were meant to be. You produce your own oil and
produce your own oil, baby.
Organ player once again on point.
Yeah, the organ player at church we did. Yeah, they go crazy.
Yes.
Yes. Bacon makes his own grease. And then the crowd, yes!
Bacon grease! I'm standing up and clapping.
Let's go!
Standing up and clapping.
Oh, my God. All right, Thirsty Thursday, ladies' night here. Hey! There we go. I got the vibes right. Got to get the vibes right. LA Live 105.3 The Fan, ladies' night. Lamar Odom. Remember Lamar Odom made that sex doll that looked like his ex-wife, Khloe Kardashian?
Grand, didn't he?
Spent a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Whole lot of money. She's AI and everything. You know, she has like a personality, and he made it like his ex-wife, which we all thought was weird. The whole country did. Everybody did, right?
Yeah, that's something.
He spoke out. He said a sex doll that looks like your wife is about mental health.
Okay.
It's about mental health. Odom sees how it can be sick to us, by the way. He said, I understand. But I think a little bit of everybody is weird.
Okay, yeah. Fair point.
Yeah, he's on
track. That's a fair point.
Yeah. Everybody's got something weird about him.
Yeah. Everybody got a little something weird.
Something weird.
Yeah. So what? I wear people's skin. You do something weird, too.
Man, Lamar Odom had a rough patch there. It sounded like he might have got some good therapy there in counseling or something like that when he was getting sober. He was ball sacking us because now he's doing this.
Yeah, if this is the end result,
ball sacking.
This is the end result right here.
I don't know if he's sober.
Yeah, I don't understand either. Let's see what else I got for you boys. LA Live 105.3 The Fan, Thirsty Thursday. Never forget, this is a Thirsty Thursday. There is a beer industry group being some super haters right now.
No.
Big time haters. Beer industry group pushing for tighter regulation on cannabis products.
Oh, see, that's not
They're getting jealous.
Big hate, bro. They doing like Big Pharma.
Yeah.
And some of the police unions. I'm going to just say some, not all. It's just some of the police unions.
That's a big part of their budget.
They fight against cannabis. Yes. Yes. Yeah. This place right here is called the Beer Institute. The Beer Institute wants higher taxes on cannabis products than what's levied on alcohol products. Wow.
I mean, you just make it even, right?
You should just make it even.
Yeah.
But they want higher taxes on the cannabis than it is on our product. Like, ooh, look at that, playing dirty. They don't want to compete. They see what's happening out here. The Beer Institute also supports zero tolerance approach for THC impaired driving. Do they have a zero tolerance approach for their stuff, though?
That's a good point.
That's a good point right there.
The THC intoxication is so tough because your numbers could be through the roof, but if you use it regularly, it's like your tolerance is so high. It's just, it's a totally different evaluation than the booze.
Tell them, Dawson.
Yeah. So I don't even know how you begin to cross that bridge if you want effective enforcement. You know, if you want to do something that's fair, that's going to be tough, but... You know, I think we're just getting an eyeful of how the system unfortunately works, and maybe that's why people were fed up and excited about voting for some change. We'll see if the change happens this time. You know,
oh, it's going to be some change.
yeah, there's going to be big changes.
It's going to be some changes. Yeah. Hold on to your butts.
But it's not what's fair. It's not what's right. It's who has the biggest bag to give to the lawmakers.
Right.
And that's the vision that gets put into law here, and that has to stop big time.
Yeah, that's part of that change. That's part of the change. And I understand this beer industry situation because I have been drinking, I love cannabis drinks. Oh my God.
Oh, really?
I've been drinking this one called Palmos that I can only get from Specs.
Oh.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love Specs because they don't treat you like a miscreant when you walk in there with cash. In fact, you get the liquor for a little bit cheaper if you have cash or you use your debit card.
That's true.
Some other places, when you walk in and you got cash, they look at you like, ugh, I don't even want to touch that. Yeah, I don't want to touch it.
It's so much easier with a card.
Yeah.
I got to count this.
Yeah. So shout out to that. And find you some Palmos. That's good stuff right there. I drink a whole lot of it. And I'm buying it more than I am buying... You know, alcohol. I'm walking out of like two or three bottles at a time, and maybe just one of tequilas. So check that out. Also, as a big hater is Attorney General Ken Paxton.
He's a hater.
He's a big time hater, bro.
He's a hater.
It's exactly what Dawson just talked about.
Doesn't like gambling.
He doesn't like gambling. Oh, yeah. He doesn't like anything.
Like,
even though you may vote for it, and then 67% of Dallas residents voted for something, and he's going to try to override you because he knows better than you guys, apparently.
Yeah.
Attorney.
Not power of the people. It's definitely not freedom.
It's not freedom.
No.
It's not freedom.
No, it's freedom for the people in power.
There you go.
What their ethics agree with.
There you go. There you go. Dip Diver, Civilizer 85, a piece of the gods. Attorney General Ken Paxton has sued the city of Dallas after approving Proposition R, the amendment that decriminalizes cannabis. Remember, you could walk around with like 4 ounces, they were saying?
Yes,
and
it is.
Your car smells like weed. They won't have to. They won't strip search you.
Yep.
Well, he wants to pull that back. So shout out to Ken Paxton. He knows what he's doing. I'll let WFAA-TV tell you the rest.
New today, the state of Texas suing the city of Dallas after voters approved a measure to decriminalize small amounts of marijuana, overwhelmingly a 2-1 margin.
Well, this is not the first time that Attorney General Ken Paxton has made this move, and Chris Sadeghi is here in studio. Now, Chris, this didn't really come as a shock because, again, we've heard him do this before.
Yeah, it's happened in other cities. 66% of Dallas voters approved the proposition to decriminalize marijuana, and now they, like a lot of other cities that did the same, facing a lawsuit from the state of Texas.
We're getting sued for trying to do what the people want.
Yep.
I thought we were going to try to govern locally, right? We know what we want in our cities and towns and counties. We don't need the state or the feds telling us what should be allowed and disallowed in our cities, please. I thought that's what we were all moving towards.
Thought this was America, people.
Yeah.
No, we're not moving towards that, bro.
No.
That's the thing. Let's see what else we got right here. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a thirsty Thursday. My man said 4 ounces is a lot. That means you sling it. But if I have 4 big tall bottles of liquor, you don't say that.
Yeah.
You don't say I'm a rolling bartender.
Yeah, I've had both before. So I mean,
you don't say
I'm a rolling bartender or nothing like that, riding around. You know what I'm saying? Pouring cups for people. You don't say that.
You just want to stock up. You're busy.
Yeah.
Don't have time to get out. Yeah.
You don't say that. Guy Fieri. Is that it? Fieri?
Fieri.
Fietti?
Sauce on it. Fietti.
The D is invisible. Flavortown. That's what she said.
Ah, yeah. Sad thing.
It's a micro.
Yeah, him and Sammy Hagar's truck's carrying $1 million worth of liquor. One whole meal ticket worth of tequila was hijacked at the Texas border.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's tequila. Him and Hagar, yeah.
I didn't know they was hijacking things to take tequila. There's so much darn tequila on this market. I didn't think they would take the tequila.
That seems heavy to get away with. You know, I want to grab like a diamond necklace worth $5 million. I'm out of here.
You need a dolly to hijack this. We need a damn dolly. I need some guys with some backs. Pause.
We're going to need some scene control.
Yeah, man.
Right, some flares.
I don't get it. Yeah, two freight trucks carrying 24,000 bottles worth of Santos Blanco and Reposado tequila were reportedly hijacked in Laredo.
We're going to have to take the whole trailer. We're going to have to take the whole trailer. You know what I'm saying?
We got a bad chick in Laredo, and she cooked me Alfredo. Yeah, that was out there in Laredo, man. The trucks were linked to Santos Spirits, which is co-owned by celebrity Guy Fieri and rock star Sammy Hagar.
Red rocker.
So, it sounds, I mean, to me, I get it, but it still kind of sounds fishy. Is that insurance?
Yeah, his club down there in Cabo Wabo, man, that's a good place to hang out. Cabo Wabo, man, good times.
Yeah.
Good times in that place.
Yeah. Yep.
I just quit drinking when I got there.
Did you?
Yeah. I saw the people just raging at Cabo Wabo. I was like,
Cabo
Wabo.
Man, there's a party going on.
Man.
What else I got? Hey, there's a TikTok trend where people are making Hennessy Kool-Aid pickles.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Does it freeze?
Kool-Aid pickles.
Hennessy Kool-Aid pickles, as if we need that.
Yeah. Lucius, you told us about the Kool-Aid, but not the Hennessy.
Not the Hennessy. When I seen it, I thought this.
Let me hear it with the hard R.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty incriminating piece of audio there.
What are we doing?
I put the H on it to emphasize.
Yeah. Hennessy Kool-Aid pickles must be stopped. You've got to be stopped, bro. We got bigger things to worry about right now. And shout out to comedian Ron G. I'm going to leave you with this one right here. These women's, they don't listen, bro. It's been like that for a while.
Because these women don't listen to nobody. It's been like that since the beginning of time. God was clear about what he didn't want Adam and Eve to do. That was the first sin. He told them. She was like, I mean, God, who do you think you are? You kind of controlling, ain't it? Don't touch what? I mean, it's giving. Like, to God? Fellas, if she don't listen to God, she is not going to listen to you. You don't stand a chance.
Yeah. And the sooner you realize that, the happier you will be. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. My name is Lucius Alexander. Be safe out there. Don't drink and drive. And the drink is called Pamos. Pamos. I holla.
There he goes. LA Live every night, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation with one Lucius Alexander. Thanks to Hurtado for having us out. We have one more hour to go. And when we get back, it's time for a Chuck Wagon, Woolchuck.
Let's put some respect on Indiana. We got a new Sasaki timeline and one final ride for Hubie Brown.